for listening to the Hotel Guys podcast.
We're calling Nancy Ward, our friend who lives in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hello?
Is this the Hotel Guys?
Yes, it is, and it's Fat Tuesday here in Panama.
Yeah, hi, Nancy. Happy Carnival.
Well, happy carnival to you, too. And I'm awfully glad that you're still the Hotel Guys and no longer the Hospital Guys.
Well, that's right. We have quite the story to share with you about our little medical event, our emergency medical event here in Panama in the last week.
Well,
it was quite a shock to get the information about Rich's event. So I'm very anxious to hear how everything went and how it all came about. And if you don't mind, you know, sharing it with all of us, I think it's something we're all interested in knowing more about.
Well, it's now been 1 week, and the first word that comes to my head is very grateful, and that, you know, with as difficult as it seemed to be initially in trying to communicate to Paul that something was goofy happening in my head, it all started early Tuesday, and I knew probably this was a stroke, because my grandfather had a stroke when I was in high school. And actually, it was really the catalyst that led me into speech pathology. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, and so it was then later diagnosed, just to be specific, as a what they call a mini stroke, or a TIA for short, which stands for transient ischemic attack.
So I just call it my brain hiccup.
Yeah. So
So did you have any warning that this was coming, or did it just come on you like a lightning bolt?
It came on him like a lightning bolt. He was in the other room, and he called me, and I could tell from his voice that he needed me right away. And he wasn't really able to communicate much more. He was like pointing and gesturing and...
This, Nancy, I mean, you really have to understand that Paul and I were probably in like post-traumatic stress shock after this until like day five, when we both could like start to really talk about it. But I remember all of the things about, you know, warning signs for strokes, and that's exactly what was flashing in my eye. So I didn't see the end of my life. I saw the chart that says FAST.
Wow.
FAST. So, you know, I'm looking at Paul, and I know, like, face, usually, you know, a corner of your mouth starts to droop. And so I'm like pointing at my mouth, and I'm smiling at him, and he's looking at me like I probably have just gone off the deep end. Because
yes, I can imagine.
When I started to talk, then it just became just gibberish. And that was the awareness right then, that when Rich Matkins can't really speak, this is most likely a stroke.
So, did you feel it in your head?
I had a headache. Like, I think I was still pointing at my head, too, wasn't I, Paul? I was, like, pointing to my temple.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, trying to just let him know that it was in my head. Something was going, you know, goofy in my brain. And then it was like my left side just became all tingly. And so 2 kilometers away is a medical clinic from where we are in Playa Coronado. And because we didn't have a car, Paul had to call our taxi guy, Carlos, and he drove us over to the emergency room at the clinic.
Yeah, I mean, so that's actually a good place to just set some context too, that, you know, we're in this lovely house and we don't have a car, as Rich said, and, you know, I am of the opinion when we've been traveling that, like, oh, nothing ever happens to us, and I'm, you know, we can go to Kashmir and we can go here and there, and, you know, we're not going to get shot at, we're not going to get, you know, we're not going to have medical emergencies, and, you know, we did have some, we've done some medical tourism a couple years ago when I was in Thailand. You know, this was a planned medical procedure, and yes, we took a tuk-tuk to the hospital that morning, but this really presented some very challenging a situation of language and transportation. And we're an hour and a half from Panama City by car, and that's probably with no traffic.
Yeah, probably at 4 a.m.
And so, you know, we had read in our little Airbnb information booklet here at the house, you know, that there is a medical clinic, and, you know, the not knowing what they can do and what they can't do in a case like, you know, like I'm not getting enough blood into my head. So we got over there in relatively short order to the San Fernando Clinic, which is affiliated with the San Fernando Hospital in Panama City, one of a handful of good private hospitals here in Panama. We came to find out shortly that that they don't do the CT scan that is, you know, kind of a requirement when these symptoms are reported by patients. So
Right. They
find out that, you know, there's one person in the clinic that speaks good English, which is a small clinic, so it wasn't hard to find them. And they, you know, long story short, put us in a taxi for the city to their affiliated hospital. And, but there was, you know, the kind of like, I guess the humorous part of some aspect of the humorous part of the story. We had dear friends arriving within the hour to stay with us for two nights that we'd been looking for. Our friends, Chuck and Sarah, we'd been looking forward to their visit. They just happened to be traveling in Panama for a couple weeks, and we had coaxed them to come and spend a couple nights. We have a lovely two-bedroom, you know, two king-size bed house, you know, here near the beach. And so they were arriving momentarily, being brought here from Panama City by our good new friend and driver, Jorge, who brought us here and who took us all around Panama City when we were there.
So, Nancy...
So we got separated, and Rich will pick up the story,
Nancy,
from there.
This is, like, so crazy. You know, the word I always am saying surreal, but here we are. We decided that Paul had the keys to the Airbnb house.
Right, the outside gate was locked.
The gate had a big lock on it.
So there's no way that they could even access the yard, let alone the house.
And of course, I'm thinking, you know, the acronym FAST, you know, time is of essence. And so I'm like, just get me in a taxi, I'll be fine. And so the young taxi driver got some instructions from the two nurses at the clinic here. And then I was kind
of... To take him to the San Fernando Hospital emergency room.
And I was instructed by Paul that don't use my phone much because I may need my batteries. And so we communicated with him about an hour and 15 minutes behind me. I would, like, check the traffic jams and shoot pictures so that he and Jorge, his driver, could see where all the snafus were. Because, you know, Panama City's a beautiful city, but, you know, when it's approaching the noon hour,
it's very car-centric.
Or, you know, end of the day, it is. It looks like, you know, the USA with one person in a car, and, you know, they're just a lot nicer to each other and letting everybody kind of swim in stream.
So
I get to the hospital, like, they say the first 4 hours are so critical, and I, you know, I'm just watching the time, and, you know, we're just inching along, and I'm just so close. close to jumping out of the car and paying him the $80 that it, you know, they charged to get me there. And
walking the rest
and
of
just
the
walking
way.
The rest of the way, but my left side was too weird, and I ended up jumping out maybe a quarter of a block distance, because I just knew I had to get in there. And I must have looked like totally deranged North American traveler, because I said that, you know, the name of the doctor, I remembered that. I was starting to speak again, even in Coronado. I think my speech was coming back. But so suddenly I had 12 people all over me in the ER. And, it, you know, that instant level of care and 55 degree temperature in the hospital, like, put me into shock. So I was just shivering, and then they thought it was my heart. And, you know, before I knew it, it's funny because, you know, in Panama, I got to have a procedure and before the credit card machine arrived in my face, which was like, oh, I haven't paid for anything. and at first, I was a bit offended, you know, in my head. It's just like, wow, they need paid. And it's, I guess it's universal now when medical costs come up like that. So I think, Paul, wasn't that about a $1,500 bill for me to do the ER, the CT scan, maybe $1,550, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Paul appears, and, you know, of course, hindsight, we're looking at each other and going, oh, you could have left the key with the nurse at the clinic, and he could have ridden with me. But, boy, that was like...
We didn't think about that for like 4 days.
No.
So there is...
Of course.
I mean, we started to, I don't know if I would say laugh, but we started to realize the humor of some aspects of this because, you know, I did have a ride with Jorge back to the city after I got Chuck and Sarah settled into the house. And, you know, at one point, Rich is sending me a message like, where am I going? And I'm like, oh, Christ, I'm not sure I remember. So, you know, I'm sending them a message, like, with the name of the hospital and a picture of it or whatever, you know, like, on the map showing them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, what, the taxi driver forgot where he was going? He got instructions from the clinic. But so there were some really frustrating aspects of it. Language was one significant barrier that, for example... we didn't encounter really at all when I was in the hospital in Thailand a few years ago, again, a planned medical procedure. And it was a very different experience. I mean, I think on balance overall, we thought it was a good experience. We ended up getting one follow-up test done. He was required, they suggested that he get an ultrasound within 1 week. And 2 days later, we went back to Panama City. We chose to go to a different institution, and it wasn't because there was anything particularly wrong, but because we had time to ask some follow-up questions about where the best place to go. We got some good advice about where... what are the best institutions? And it wasn't that the one that we were in was in any way bad. Again, it was a handful of good private hospitals. But people said that you could actually get the medical care done in places that were less expensive. So we chose another institution based on our Airbnb property manager actually recommended a clinic that we had the ultrasound done in, and we were able to go back. As it turned out, we went with Jorge on the day that Chuck and Sarah left and had the work done that day and then came back in 1 day. So, you know, it wasn't that we were so far away from the required medical services, but it was not around the corner. And
the part I'm not following is so Rich gets to the hospital, gets into ER. How long were you there? Did you have to stay one night, two nights?
Well,
what was the scenario and what was going on? What kind of procedures did they do at that time?
Well, you know, it was probably a total of 4.5 hours in the hospital, and they wanted to keep me overnight. And of course, my little scrambled brain is just thinking, but I don't want to be in the hospital overnight. And our friends who we've really looked forward to being with, Chuck and Sarah, are at our house, and I'm not there. So,
always the host.
I don't know, but I just wanted to see him, and I wanted to be home, and I didn't want this to be happening to me. So I said, okay, you know, being the frugal half German that I am and was raised to be frugal, I said, how much will this cost if I stay overnight? So they come back and she says, well, it'll be $3,000. And
again, not the cheapest institution in town.
I was shocked.
But there weren't medically necessary reasons for keeping them. It was more a recommendation for observation. They weren't going to do anything. But to your question about what they did do, Rich, why don't you talk about your test?
Well, the CT scan?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the sweet thing about getting into that hospital was, like, I felt like I had priority treatment from them. And so my CT scan was fine. I've had one before when they were concerned about my Lyme disease affecting my brain. And so I'd been in the machine. You know, I pop out and then I'm just in a holding pattern in the hospital. And I, to be honest, wasn't given a glass of water in the time I was there. And in hindsight, yeah, I'm glad I went back to Coronado and slept here and just kind of started a new reality. The doc had given me medication, so, you know, they're just really...
So in that original stay and the original CT scan, they were able to determine that you had not had anything major happen?
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Exactly.
So, right, what this was it was an emergency room stay. He was never admitted to the hospital. He was in the emergency room ward the entire time. The CT scan, you know, showed no damage. And from the symptoms he described, they diagnosed him with the TIA, or the transient ischemic attack. But there is no, I mean, the nature of a TIA is that it's a fleeting cutoff of blood to, you know, blood supply, in this case to the brain. And the CT scan doesn't indicate that that happened. So everything on the CT was good.
Yeah.
So, you know, the...
Oh, I see. What you're saying is a TIA does not leave any permanent damage?
No. So this is why, you know, he could walk, he could talk. You know, this wasn't a stroke. It wasn't a... That's why they don't even call it a mild stroke. They call it a mini stroke. So it's...
Okay.
Luckily, if it has to happen, I guess this is the good thing. So, you know, there wasn't...
Yes, well, obviously, yeah.
So, you know, the ultrasound follow-up, again, the doctors were very good. All of them spoke perfect English except one. And when necessary, they brought a translator. And so, you know, I mentioned the extra step for the language issue.
Yeah.
In the hospital, it wasn't really a big hurdle. It was more about, you know, kind of before and after that emergency room visit, we were trying to make an appointment and...
It just goes slower, but
it just
goes
a little slower and a little bit more challenging. But you know, we persevered and got what we needed. Again,
well, I was excited.
2 days later, we had the ultrasound done.
I was so excited because I think we're getting more feedback now. No, it's okay. So we'll edit that up. I was really surprised that I was able to just walk into that clinic, and within 40 minutes I was seeing my doctor, the radiologist, and I don't think that happens too many places.
So don't confuse our listeners too much. Rich is referencing the radiological exam 2 days later when we went, which was they had suggested doing an ultrasound within a week. And so we weren't sure how and when and where, what our options were. And so when we went back, one of the things we did when we woke up the next day was begin to look around for where can we have this test done and when. So we...
And finally, who could help us? And Beth.
Right. Well, finally, so then we kind of relied on all the resources that we had.
Yeah.
And we didn't really have very good luck the next day getting a clear answer to those simple questions of where and when. So we just went back to the city without an appointment and went to this one place that they recommended. And they said, well, wow, this is normally done by appointment only. However, the doctor's coming in to read something else and we're going to fit you in. And so we were able to do this as an afternoon. You know, we dropped Chuck and Sarah off at the airport. They were headed off to Boca del Toro for more of their Panama trip. And then we went on to this kind of outpatient clinic, really.
It was so easy.
It ended up being easy. And the radiologist was a gem, perfect English.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rich got a further understanding of, you know, the condition of his arteries, what are the arteries of the neck called? Carotid arteries.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, for his age are in good shape. How would you characterize it, Rich? What he said, what she said?
Well, when my mother and I would talk about age, Paul, we would say nothing gets old. So I'm a teen elder that... she said, looks pretty good, that I think I had a 13% obstruction. I've always been a little bit of an obstructionist. So.
On one side. 13% on one side, when the threshold for further...
Big concern.
It is 50%. So the one side was much below any big concern. The other side had... The lining of the carotid artery on the other side was eight millimeters.
Yeah, whatever.
No, it was 13. Yeah, 16 when eight. So, you know, it was not really, there was no bad news from the ultrasound.
That's wonderful.
So we could go back. I could come back here and find all the wine in the house in the refrigerator and start drinking. And Rich could, you know, get in touch, as he already was, with his doctor, not just his doctor friends, but, as one of his doctors in Portland. He was getting advice from on the phone during all of this.
Well, that brings up, I think, a question that certainly comes to my mind is, you're in a foreign country, you don't readily have availability, obviously, to even an ambulance, and then you get to the hospital and you have to come up with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that all the things that we kind of take for granted, if we have any emergency here, you call 911. Am I hearing you right that they don't have a 911 in Colombia?
They do.
Or in Panama?
Yeah, they do have 911. I believe. Well, no.
I don't think they do.
Well, that's interesting.
So no, I'm not aware of it.
Should we try it?
Well, no. Let's never find out.
Yeah. Why don't you call them right now?
I suggest that we never find out.
I do too.
But you know, one thing that's interesting is that Panama is at the top of the list of expat retirement locations. Among the reasons why is because of the good healthcare that's available. It just so happened that the clinic here in the little Coronado enclave where we are either does not or did not that day, I wasn't quite sure which, have access to an ambulance. And, you know, they said, yes, it would be more expensive. Maybe they would have cut through a little bit of traffic. But which the money really wasn't the issue at all. They basically just said the, you know, with this 4-hour window, not knowing if it was a TIA or a major stroke.
Right.
Right.
That it's important to get to the CT scan and identify how much damage, if any. And so we just went the taxi route and never really found out if they. We have seen a few ambulances on the road.
Yeah. And they get stuck in traffic
just like everybody else. Yeah,
I know.
It's different. So then the question is, so they didn't ask you for your insurance card. They asked you for a credit card.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the other
does this mean that now you are going to be able to go back, and will your insurance take care of this in the long run?
So we did find the answer to that question. And so to the first point you're bringing up, when you're a tourist in a country, you know, you kind of are in one sort of basket. If you were an expat here for a period of time, you would likely, as I understand it, insure yourself through what feels to me like an HMO kind of deal. You would pay a reasonable monthly rate and have affiliation with a clinic and a hospital with access to emergency services that would be covered, much like insurance would be in our country. When you're a tourist, however, you don't. So,
yeah.
Okay, so, and then to your second point, because we are traveling a lot, we determined this for Riches on Medicare in the U.S. We determined this before we left because we did want to know what we could about coverage. For travel of less than 60 days, his supplemental Medicare, his particular supplemental plan with his Medicare, would cover most of the expenses.
80%.
We have been traveling for more than 60 days. So while I will clarify that that's since we left the U.S. as opposed to the number of days in the country, we do not believe that this is a covered event by his supplemental plan. But let me just add that, because in my defense, I'm not a real big insurance person. If we had bought travel insurance, which we did not, I do not believe it would be any less than what the charge was, because it's a per day charge and we're out of the country for 6 months.
Yes, yes.
So we actually spent less money still by incurring this as a direct cost as opposed to carrying traveler's insurance.
Well, this is very interesting. So I didn't realize that Medicare has a limitation on how long you can travel and have your insurance be effective. And what I hear you saying is it doesn't matter where you're traveling to, it's just the number of days that you're out of the country determines whether or not they will cover you.
Yeah, and I think it's important to clarify that Medicare itself provides no services, no coverages. Because as, you know, I think only a third of people on Medicare, which is shockingly low in our opinion, are covered by supplemental insurance plans. And it's the supplemental plan that Rich chose, which in our case is the Mutual of Omaha, among, you know, many, many options that people on Medicare have.
So had we just arrived from Portland into Panama,
then it would be covered. So we were covered for the first 60 days, but we were in Costa Rica all of that time, as you know.
Right.
So I guess the...
But okay, so now you're even giving me more information. So so it's not Medicare, it's the supplemental part. So, and I would assume that every supplemental could possibly be different. So a person could...
Yeah.
Look around and have that be a part of the criteria for choosing a supplemental plan, this cap on how long you can travel and be out of the country and still be covered.
Right.
And I'm not mistaken, Paul, but I think our shopper, if you will, really couldn't find us the supplemental plan that was really going to give us
anything
that kind
more.
Of service.
Yeah,
I think
that, you know, of course we've had to change the supplemental plan already, and he's only been on it 2 years.
Yeah.
I think the 60 days is fairly standard, but yes, indeed, it may very well change. We looked around knowing that because we plan to be traveling a lot, to see if there was any plan out there, since we're shoveling money out every month for it.
I know in Costa Rica, if expats are staying in that country, they can buy medical insurance anywhere from 120 to 160 a month.
It's about probably in the ballpark in Panama. Again, though, you know, you have to kind of be settled in a little bit more than we are. We're fleeting through this country and that, so we're really just traveling as opposed to setting down there. Any more roots.
Yeah, no, obviously if you're an expat living somewhere, you're going to make different arrangements than someone doing it like you're doing. Well, but, you know, the thought that immediately went through my mind when I first got your notice that this had happened was, thank God you weren't out on a mountaintop in India
when
this happened.
Yeah.
Nancy.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, really, thankfully, that the damage to his brain was, I guess, fleeting, and that there's no damage, because if we were in India and the same thing happened, nothing would be different, other than we wouldn't have the answers that we have for probably longer. It probably would have just taken us...
Just getting to a medical facility. I mean, you guys were in some pretty remote places.
Yes.
And
we will be. And we will be again.
Particularly that one mountain trek that you took. I thought, oh my God, can you imagine? How would you even get down off the mountain?
Yeah, you don't. I don't think that's too easy.
So we have gone over. So we've admired a lot about, like, the costs and so forth. Know that this could have happened and cost us less. Based on what we learned, because probably all the other private hospitals are cheaper. But it still was far less than if we were carrying traveler's insurance for the duration of our trip.
Well, I keep saying I dodged a bullet. And so for other people to walk away, you know, I mean, yes, my left side is still affected. It's all tingly, you know, and I don't know if you can tell, but I sure can. I struggle in my thinking, finding words. So we call it word-finding struggles. That's hard for me. So it's an adjustment right now, and I know how the brain's, you know, plasticity works. I understand that, you know, the neuro pathways are doing their best to reconnect, and... in the meantime, I try to say things to Paul, and I'll kind of drift or come up with a weird word. So I'm entertaining at least myself.
And it's so interesting that this is something you're so familiar with, Rich, because of your career in speech pathology, that this, you must be like your own experiment.
I feel like that. And, you know, I think, you know, in my little emotional kind of meltdown, and it's common for people with strokes to have this kind of portion of our brains get, like, maybe a little more overly emotional. But in one of my moments yesterday, I just said to Paul, just acknowledge that something happened to me and don't pretend that, like, everything is normal. Because that's, like, the worst thing for me, because in my, like, scrambled head, I'm like, okay, then... this isn't happening. And so it all sets off this weird disbelief. And, you know, in our country, there's like 800,000 people who have strokes. And, you know, just yesterday, Luke Perry at age 52, you know, he had the massive stroke that killed him.
Yes.
So,
yes, and of course that is so ironic. He was a man who took very good care of himself, was very conscious of his health and the food that he ate. And
same.
You were saying at the beginning, you just simply never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go to the National Stroke website, it's stroke.org. I'm the new poster boy, by the way, Nancy. I I've learned a lot. And so in the United States, you know, every, what is it? I think it's every 40 seconds someone has a stroke, and, you know, 80% can be prevented.
I think we should actually talk a little bit about the FACE acronym. We referenced it, but we didn't talk about what they are. Why don't you do that, Rich?
Why don't I do that? Well, of course, FAST, not FACE.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But the FACE does tell you a little bit.
Well, the F is for FACE, which is smile.
Yes. Yeah,
it's can the person smile? So, you know, of course, this I've heard this before, but I was not thinking of it at the time. I was
A is for arms, so they suggest that you ask the person to raise both arms above their head and see what happens. Now, most likely, you know, one's going to not get up there as high. And then the S is speech. So what you want to do is you want to have a sentence that you can have them repeat back to you. So in my case, when I was losing it, it was pretty clear that I wasn't able to repeat anything. And then the T in FAST is for time. And again, the time element is critical, and I think so many people have these little mini strokes, and something weird happens and they don't know and they don't do anything about it, and the time factor is really critical, because if it is a big, massive type stroke, there is a pharmaceutical that it's very important that they give that to you.
Within a certain number of hours.
Yeah, it's like, you know, again, it's that 4-hour kind of window. So these are, you know, yes, it's something to think about. Yesterday, Paul's like, do we want to go back to India in the fall? And it's like, yeah, of course I do. There's always something that's going to bring Rich Matkins down, but this one is definitely not it.
Well, I think, you know, you're dodging the bullet. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And these warning signs are huge. I mean, my mother had a massive stroke.
I didn't know.
She was lucky enough to get the clotbuster operation.
Uh-huh.
And although she never came back to 100%, she was, her mind came back, you know, which was the, of course, the most important thing. And the use of her left side of her body was severely impaired the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time. They said, you know, you only have a 4-hour window for this operation.
I know, I told
her. And without the operation, she would have never recovered.
Yeah, yeah. Last night I talked to my oldest son, Luke, and I said, why don't you develop an app that shows people how close you are to CT scan machines, so I'll know how far I can roam when I travel.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
that's a really interesting app.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely coming with 5G internet. There's no doubt in my mind. It might not be in my lifetime. Maybe yours, Rich. I don't
know. Yeah. Well, you know, then Nancy, the other part is so important. And I'm lucky that I have Paul in my life. And, you know, so many people
say more
are I guess they are. Yeah, Paul got me through this one.
Well, I'm great in an emergency. Like, I remember, like, during, like, day one, I'm like, oh, God, I'm doing so well now, but I know I'm going to be a bloody wreck in 3 and 4 days. I was.
And, you know, and I think that's important, is that the other person on the other side, you know, has just kind of witnessed something pretty bizarre, and you don't want to see your loved one have any trouble.
Right, and it's also important, if you're an hour and 15 minutes behind him in another car, and he asks the question, where am I going, to remember.
Where am I going? Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
I'm like, was that San Andreas or San Fernando or Santa Ana? It's like, I wasn't sure which San it was.
Yeah. So gratitude. And
so we're just been regrouping and like, you know, it's a week out exactly. And
I've been enjoying the cloud formations from my flotation device
on our pool
at the swimming pool.
But and how lovely that you have no schedule. You have to be jumping on an airplane or jumping on a bus or a taxi and going somewhere. How nice that it came at a time when you have the ability to just sit back and let all of this settle. Because it's been a huge event.
It's a time of extreme nurturing.
Oh, it's so true. And everybody that contacted me, it's like so much gratitude.
So we, we planned.
You are so loved. You were both so loved, and it was. I think one of the most difficult things is always to not be able to be near the people when an event like this takes place, because everybody wants to run to your side and give you hugs and bring chicken noodle soup and be a part of this really enormous event.
Well, I'm glad that they couldn't, because we're not doing any carbs, so we would have had to remove the noodles, Nancy.
We've been eating so well. That's funny. That's really... But I would cheat.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So, but we're here for another week still, so we're going to keep going, and then we're going back to the city for a week.
Yeah, I'm going to replace my glasses that were stolen from a little beach theft that Paul and I were involved in Playa Bajuco, Costa Rica. So I'll have time to get my vision tested. And.
But gosh, we still have, like, is it more than 2 months in Panama left?
We have,
because after, this is our first visit here, so after the coming week, after the coming week here still in Coronado, and then the coming week in a different neighborhood in Panama City that we're staying in, we are going to be in yet another Airbnb on the 29th floor, a two-bedroom place near a park, and we're trying out. We really like Panama City.
Infatuated with this culture and the city, Nancy. Oh my gosh.
So
it's a beautiful city and it's so cosmopolitan. Of course, I haven't been there for 20 years, so I can imagine how much it's changed.
Oh,
man.
Then we've got a month long stay in the town of David, which is the other end of the country, closer to Costa Rica.
With a lot of expats there.
And I'm sure we'll be talking to you from there.
Yeah, we will.
We definitely look forward to hearing about all the fun things and all the travel and all that experience. But I really do think this has almost been like a public service announcement, because it is a question that all of us after a certain age do wonder, you know, if I have a medical emergency and I am in a foreign country, what will it look like? And what should I be thinking about? And how should I not dwell on it, but how should I... What should I be looking for? As besides looking at restaurants, should I also be looking at hospitals?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, it'll never happen to me. But, you know, in preparation, you know, obviously in preparation, we did gather some information. We did know a little bit. But, you know, we're not the kind of travelers that this has not changed my mind with regard to traveling with travel insurance. And I know there may be some people out there hearing that who are thinking that is not, it's just not how they would do it. And maybe they judge that we would, but I still believe that out-of-pocket expense for the duration of the travel... I mean, we're going to be out of the U.S. 75% of 2019. Mm-hmm. It's not a viable alternative for us.
Right.
So we are a cash...
We just do it differently, Paul.
Yeah, we just do it differently. We're happy to give them the credit card and...
Maybe get some air miles, huh?
Yeah, and you know, there is a little bit of...
Isn't
that terrible? Oh boy.
There is a little bit of risk associated with it, but...
Well, so is crossing the street
in some places. That's one way to look at it, but...
Yeah, no regrets here.
But, you know, we did have everything on the table when we got back. It's like, do we need to go home? Do we need to not go?
Yeah.
You know, do we need to change our future travel?
So conversations are really important. I know, you know, we've got to wrap this up, but our friends Chuck and Sarah, she had a medical emergency when they were in
Israel. Yeah.
And she
had a positive experience.
Had a doctor that came to her house, I believe, is what she was saying. So, you know, you might run across, like we have, in Thailand, in, you know, here. There are good people everywhere that are trained in medicine. So, just glad that I'm still around.
You're still around, and you sound, of course, to me, you sound just absolutely perfect.
Yay, good.
Well,
good.
Thanks so much, Nancy.
Yes.
Oh, you guys, thank you so much for sharing this so quickly after the experience. It's a huge event in your lives and for all in the lives of everybody who loves and cares about you.
Yeah.
So we look forward to the next episode where you're just out having fun.
Absolutely, and give our love to all of our mutual friends.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nancy.
All right, you guys, take care. Love you much.
Okay.
Yeah, keep traveling.
Yes, we will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.